protecting this. We're
talking about our version of Omaha.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I've tried it in and out a couple times. I don't know if it's the cable or what.
Well, the light's on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's not.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Reflex Blue Show, everybody. I am your host, Donovan Beery. I have with me Ben Luders.
Hello, everybody.
We have a special show. Thanks to AIG Nebraska and AIG National, just bringing these people into Omaha just randomly for like 3 days. We have with us the president of AIGA, Mr. President Doug Powell.
Hi.
And Justin Ahrens, who needs no introduction here.
Yes, absolutely not.
I won't even say anything.
Yeah. And Justin actually is so scared of us that he flew in and is flying out immediately after this, from what I understand. You're in town for like literally 2 hours?
Yeah, and then a drive-thru runs on the way out of town.
Sounds good. They might even have one in the airport. Just hit that one.
No, it could happen.
Yeah.
Are you a Runza fan, Justin?
I just think, I'm not sure. I just think it's what you're supposed to do when you come here, right? Yeah.
I'm a Runza fan from way back.
Really?
Yeah.
So, Doug, what is AIGA doing here for these 3 days?
We're done talking about Runza.
You don't want to dwell on the Runzas very long, especially before lunch.
Can you just make sure that there is a Runza though in the picture for this post?
Maybe so.
We will work on that.
Okay. Yeah.
Just a suggestion. I'd hate to be an art director.
I've actually never had a Runza before. I lived here for 6 years. I go there to get burgers, but I've never actually had a Runza.
Do you see my face right now?
I wish everybody could see Justin's face right now.
This is actually why I was trying to get the conversation moving on to something else, because this is embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing to you, it's embarrassing to me, it's embarrassing to our guests.
I'm sorry, everybody.
You know our office is literally 2 blocks from a Runza.
But we go to nice restaurants when we go to eat, don't we? Oh, I mean, a little bit nicer.
Wow. No, actually,
so
no.
Doug and I obviously have bad taste. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to...
It's a very subtle judgment going on.
I'm trying to insult you guys and anybody else that might have gone to a Runza, yes.
This is sad. Are they serving lunch Runzas at this event?
They are serving lunch. I don't have confirmation of the actual menu.
Is this event being held in Omaha because we have Runzas?
I wasn't going to really admit to that, but let's just go ahead and say it.
Okay. What is this? Now, this event is you have about 60 people here from all over the country or whatever, deciding what to do with a plot of land that's in Sarpy County. Is this
right? There's an organization called the Good Samaritan Society, and they operate a network of about 240 senior care facilities around the country. And they are based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. They have a strong presence here in Omaha, number of facilities that they operate here. And they have this plot of land that they own out in Papillion. It's 20 acres. Right now it's a soybean field. Beautiful rolling farm country out there. It's just wide open. And they're going to build something there. They're going to build some sort of a senior facility, elder care facility there. And they are an organization that's really got a strong interest in innovation and design thinking. And they've got a great internal innovation team there called Vivo. And they're interested in engaging designers in the process of figuring out what to do with this 20-acre plot. So add on to that, how could this influence other things that are happening in their organization? And beyond that, the whole bigger issue of, the aging population in the U.S. and what can change about that experience. So there's a lot of layers, a lot of concentric circles that these people are working on this week. And we've structured a 3-day design thinking workshop where we've got designers, community leaders, occupational therapists, healthcare experts, and Good Samaritan Society staff people who are teaming together, working through a design methodology to look at that bigger opportunity.
And did this Vivo group contact AIGA National? Did they contact us?
They contacted. It's been a conversation that's been going on between AIGA and Good Samaritan Society, their Vivo team. I've been working with them on a consulting basis over the last 6 months to plan this program. And then when we realized that it was going to be here in Omaha, we reached out to Craig Hughes and the Omaha, the AIJ Nebraska chapter, to engage Craig's help in kind of recruiting design talent from the local area to come in and participate in this. So that's how AIJ Nebraska got involved in it as a sort of supporting partner.
And Justin, how did you get involved in this? How did you just kind of hear Runza and start running?
Well, I mean, I wasn't asked Doug earlier. I mean, there's a Runza in the plans for the property, right?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of work that in.
That is a primary assumption that, yeah, we're working
on. Actually, Doug was gracious enough to invite me down here to be the lunch entertainment. So I'm honored to be here. All jokes aside, learning more about what this conference is doing is pretty fantastic, because from a design for good standpoint, I think there's a lot of opportunities there to use that sort of perspective and methodology to come up with some great solutions.
Yeah, there's a lot of synergy between how this is being structured, how we've built this program, and what's happening with Design for Good around the country and other AIJ chapters. There's a lot of this type of activity going on, kind of wrestling with these really complex issues that aren't issues that designers have historically engaged with. You know, they don't always have like the designed outcome that we usually work toward. You know, it's not necessarily a website or a piece of media or a poster or a logo or a product or a building. It might be all of those things, but it might be something completely different.
Why did the Good Samaritan Group go with something like AIGA rather than like hiring a firm that would specialize in something like this? And what does AIGA look to do with this going forward? Is this just a one-off thing, or is this something that they plan on replicating, and if another company calls, would they do it for them?
Well, I mean, that's part of how Design for Good is operating at the national AIGA level. Now, this program doesn't have a connection with AIGA at the national level. This has a connection with the Nebraska chapter. But to answer your question, yeah, there is that sort of partnership. Those partnership relationships are happening at the national level of Design for Good, and that's something that's been really exciting about that program, is it's given us the opportunity to have conversations with organizations that normally aren't really all that interested in AIGA. I mean, you know, as a professional association, what interest does the NEA, for instance, have in AIGA? Well, outside of Design for Good, not that much, frankly. But if you go to the NEA and say, hey, we've got 22,000 designers in 66 cities around the country who are totally fired up about working in this new way and working on important social issues. Well, that's a conversation that they're interested in having, and that's what we're finding with a lot of these new relationships. That's kind of cool.
That is pretty cool. I'm curious about the actually how this has looked what are the practical ways that this has looked the last couple of days? Like, you said there's 60 people have been involved. 60 does.
Yeah.
They're not all designers, though. Some of them are community organizers.
Yeah.
Have you just gotten in small groups? Have you like brainstormed and then presented to the whole group, or what has it looked like?
There's four teams, and each team is led by a design. We're calling them a facilitator, a guide, a Sherpa. You know,
Sherpa.
Sort of taking them through this methodology. They're all, you know, they're not working from the same textbook. You know, they're all sort of, each team is a little bit different based on the sort of the way that facilitator is leading them. Yesterday, the first day of the program was spent mostly out in the field. So the teams had a chance to go out and visit Good Samaritan Society facilities and interact with the residents there. Which was a totally eye-opening experience. And it's really, you know, when you think about working this way, that's a really important part of how designers need to work, is having that human contact and really getting in touch with an issue on a really intimate human level. You know, you have all these preconceptions about what it means to be 95 years old. And then you sit down across the table from somebody who's 95 years old, and they start telling you stories about their life, and it totally transforms, you know, your whole understanding of that. And that was happening all day yesterday with these people, these teams, as they went out to these Good Sam facilities and had those types of interactions. Then they also went out to the Papillion site and saw what the space out there looks like out there. And then today they're spending, you know, almost the entire day, except for listening to Justin blow hot air during the lunch hour.
Tell me about it.
It is back to reality.
We've all experienced that.
Yeah, they're most of the day in the studio here at the Holland, you know, working as teams, kind of through this sort of iterative process of, you know, what do we do with this thing? What do we do with this idea?
Mm-hmm.
So, Justin, what are you speaking about over lunch?
That's a great question, Donovan.
I mean, what is the entertainment? Are you juggling? Well, are you juggling runs?
Can you juggle?
I can juggle.
Runzas.
I can juggle runzas.
All right.
Up to three.
Up to
the four is like throws me.
It's weird how that, yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I've talked about this on the show before. One of the things I've been trying to do at Rule 29 is to approach things differently and to tweak our perspective and try to understand how to run your firm differently and just get better at being a creative and using design thinking to solve problems through trips to, you know, Africa and some of the social stuff that we do. And, you know, this year we've really been exploring that from a different context because some people don't understand it as well as far as, like, how going to Africa could change your perspective or how it is to sit across from someone who's 95 to understand how their life is, how to see through their eyes. And so I've been really working on the concept of wonder. I talked a little bit about this at How.
Sure.
And so this talk is really more looking through that through pop culture so people can take away a concept and hopefully will influence them and change their perspective on how to approach a problem or how to see things differently. So that's really what post-runs of juggling is what I'm talking
about. Okay, because that makes sense to me now. At first I was just like, I'm not sure how the runs of juggling is going to tie in, but I knew you would spin it back somehow.
Right. Yeah, you're so good at that.
So really, that's why this
mid-show I start with just throwing up one and catching it, and then I go to two, and then I go to three, and then, you know, it's kind of this great crescendo. It's really exciting.
Okay.
That's where the wonder comes in.
If you can imagine Cirque du Soleil with fast food.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And a middle-aged white guy.
Oh, I cannot see this going poorly.
I actually have vivid dreams of things like this on a regular basis.
You dream about that?
And the,
or me? Or...
I know you dream about
juggling.
Justin.
I just didn't know. It was the character was always in shadow. Now that I find out it's you, I'm a little worried I might go see some professional help, but at least it's starting to make more sense.
The unitard that he wears really ties it all together.
Wow. Don't forget the monocle. That's the key part to the whole thing.
That's
when you do it one eye, it changes your whole perspective.
I don't think this is designed for good at all.
No, it is. It is.
It's about changing your perspective.
And also, I'll drift aside too, you know, design for good is a really big deal for me in Rule 29, and we want to be one of the advocates for it in any way, shape, or form. And so we're really trying to work with Doug and the rest of the team to take a leadership role in that whenever we can. So
now both of you guys will actually be at the AIGA conference this year, which isn't the design conference. It's the former GAIN conference, but now
it is still the GAIN conference.
Okay, but now it's kind of a social awareness.
It's just not focused on business. It's a broader
program. For this year, we made a 1 year shift in recognition of Design for Good launching over the last year. We really felt like let's punctuate that first year of Design for Good with a big, you know, celebration of it, of what's happening around the country and around the world in this new way that designers are working. So, you know, the GAIN conference is a great, you know, sort of property of AIGA, and it'll always be a great event, you know, whether it has a focus on design of business or design of social value. You know, we're taking a different spin on it this year. But
and you're just weeks away, and this is in San Francisco.
Yeah, we are. It's October 9th and 10th in San Francisco. Yeah, registration is going really well. Seats are filling up. So get on it if you're interested in joining us. It's going to be an awesome time.
Are you going to be at Design Camp too?
I'm going to go to Design Camp for a couple of days. It's like the
first part.
It's the weekend before the game conference, so I can't stay the whole time. But Design Camp is amazing. Have you been?
I have not.
There's
a possibility I might be going this year.
Really?
Yeah.
It's.
I'm jealous. I always wanted to go.
It's awesome.
You should save up some time and just make it happen.
I should?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I've never been. Maybe you should talk to him.
Maybe you should skip out on your talking at the social awareness AIGA game thing.
Oh, they would be totally
fine. And just go to Design Camp and crash it instead.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a problem.
No. Sounds like
I mean, you got a month left to... finding a replacement for Justin will take you... I mean, I can make like
30
two
minutes?
Calls and
have
this before we're done recording.
It's good to be back.
Welcome to Omaha,
Justin. It's warm.
Thank you for making it here.
It's as good as it gets.
It's like a big hug.
Yeah. All right. Well, Justin, we really appreciate your time. Hey, we actually do.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes.
You know. Thank you. I'm just excited that Drew Davies is here. The rock star known as Drew
He's
Davies.
He's somewhere. Design superstar Drew Davies, a registered trademark of Andrew Davies, is somewhere in the building, from what I understand.
Yeah,
we
where
have
is
not
that
seen
guy?
Him yet. We have just got in. We came straight into the
room. Oh, well,
we're in the hall.
I saw
it.
You can kind of feel
we're
the
we're
buzz.
We're in the recital room. This is the best acoustical room we've ever had, even though it's gigantic.
Well, here's how my moment went. I was with Doug, and Drew walked by, and he looked at me, and then, of course, he kept going.
Oh, yeah.
But it was great to see
Did
him.
Did you touch the hem of his garment?
No, but
anything?
I felt the breeze
as
he walked by, and I just lingered on that. It was wonderful.
That's why I stayed in Omaha.
Yeah.
To be honest, just to be, around that. So.
Drew's
a great guy.
I'm getting a little teary.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We have ditched Justin, thankfully.
Yes. Yeah, so glad.
And we have brought
so
in Bill Anderson from the Good Samaritan Group. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing very well, thanks, guys.
And you're like the one who assembled this whole thing.
Well, the team assembled it, and I was just part of the group that got to be involved with it. And it's been kind of an amazing series of connecting experiences with having met Doug last year and some of the work that he was doing, Doug Powell from Schwartz Powell, and meeting folks from the American Occupational Therapy Foundation and their glimmer of concepts and Good Samaritan's glimmer of concepts. And so we just kind of, something kind of magical happened where we were able to find an intersection to do this this really amazing event over the last couple of days.
Now, you obviously deal with what they're working with regularly and have for quite a while. Is there anything that, like, just in this last day and a half that's kind of, you've shed a different light for you?
Well, I think we were just discussing that. We have kind of a catch-up where each one of our senior leaders, who's an observer in the event, sits around and kind of has an hour-long catch-up at a couple different times a day after we've observed some of the groups working on some of the problems and challenges that we've identified. And each we have four groups working on isolation and dementia and a few other topics. And the thing that's been amazing, I think, to all of us is that people are really ignoring their mission in the groups to tackle isolation or dementia or, some very specific issues, and starting to say, okay, what are sort of the complex systems designs that we need to be thinking about to not worry so much about individuals who are struggling with isolation or dementia, and instead build a complex system that, if it's designed well, will address those things no matter what. And so that, to me, I think is one of the most sort of interesting findings so far, is that people are getting past, I'm a person who's struggling with isolation, I'm a person who's struggling with dementia, and instead saying, if you design an environment right, it really doesn't matter. And that's pretty exciting to me. Mm. It's not necessarily surprising to me, but it's pretty refreshing that we're kind of hearing that on a group-by-group basis, people just really focusing on sort of the meta concept here, which I think is cool.
Once we're done with this, and after tomorrow, and the meta concepts, I guess, are delivered from the group leaders or from the groups themselves, what do you plan to do with that information, and how long will it take to implement it?
That's a good question. That's sort of like the, I would say, $30 to $50 million question.
It probably depends what comes out.
Right? Yeah, that's a great question. So what we really look at, and I'll admit I've sort of stolen Doug's analogy, Doug's thought about this, is, you know, really we're at a kind of Christmas tree or funnel. I look at it as a funnel, right? So we're kind
I like Christmas tree, but okay.
Yeah, Christmas tree works great. I'm very comfortable with it. You just don't want to, the problem with Christmas trees is you can hang lots of ornaments on them and make them fall over, which is another risk of a process like this.
Right.
But, you know, we're really at the kind of the open end of the analytic funnel, and over the course of the next day, we're hoping to get to a point where we have four groups come to us and talk to us about what they think amazing designs would be for the 20 acres potentially plus in Papillion. And then, you know, what we really have to do is I'm making the assumption that we'll kind of be at about 200% of capacity in terms of concept, right? There's no way that we can get to all of it. Or maybe I'll be surprised and we sort of have a perfect kind of, I call it concatenation of ideas. They all just kind of go around a core concept that we say, aha, we can actually operationalize this relatively simply. But the goal, I think, for the Good Samaritan Society is by the end of this calendar year to take all this work, continue to hone and refine it, work with our partners on this, and say, okay, where do we start first? And how do we really move to deliver something sooner rather than later? And by sooner rather than later, I mean the impetus for us is shovel in the ground in March of 2013 and fully functioning part of the vision by sometime in early 2014, with the assumption it's going to be a staged growth over time, and we have to, you know, figure out what the best first series of moves are, what the best sort of overarching philosophies for the build are, and what the first most important services to provide for people who would come to live here might be. And so that's what we're really going to be taking our time over the, you know, next few months to do, next 3 months, 4 months, is to say, what's the first most important move, assuming that this is some sort of development chess game. It kind of is, and we want to make sure that we don't take ourselves too far down a path and then realize we wish we would have retraced it. So what's a good, small, important bet to make first?
What is the follow-up on this? Like, will you just continually work with Doug? Or will you bring back the whole group, like the follow-up between communication between the group and you, your group?
Yeah, so we're setting the stage in a couple of different ways. One is, you know, sort of reporting back out to the designers, and I think working with Doug to figure out the best way to do that with the design community that's, you know, given its time and its, you know, its cognitive capacity to this work over the last couple of days. The other side of this is the researcher team side, and we've got folks from around the country who are leading researchers in older adults and specific areas in that. And we're having a dinner tonight with them to talk to them about how Papillion can be a seed for ongoing research, both to understand the efficacy of the model that we develop in the Papillion area, but also to start looking at evidence-based practice and research on evidence-based practice for those disciplines. So having an ongoing series of touch points with researchers, and then also really starting to open up the Good Samaritan Society and our 240 locations around the country in 24 states, we're geographically spread, to say, you know, Papillion is one place where we really want to look at how people can age and age well in a way that they want to, and also look at the opportunity we have to stretch our other locations around the country to work with researchers in a really productive way to drive ahead research on older adults and their families. And so that's kind of the next seeds we're planting, is to sort of say, okay, what's an ongoing research trajectory with the hope that I have at Good Samaritan of building a robust research capacity, and then, you know, really partnering closely with Doug to identify how we can continue to both work with designers in the Omaha area, which is critically important to us, but then also continue to reach out to the design community and say, you know, this is a first step. Are we going to do more of this? How can we do more of this with designers around the country? And then how do we do appropriate checkbacks to let people know what we've been doing and how they can be continually engaged with
that. That's my next question, is there any place like online that our listeners can go to see the process that you guys have done here, what the final recommendations were? Because, I mean, those aren't going to come out for another 24 hours or anything like that.
Yeah, I'll circle back with you, Donovan. We'll give you a link to set you up with some, a destination that you can put up.
Okay, so if everyone wants to go to 36point.com, if you find the post that goes with this podcast, supposedly there'll be a link there. So, yeah. Doug, you're on the line now. I'm on the line to find photos of images of runzas.
Yeah.
You're on the hook to send me some links. So we'll call this a
walk. That was the first part of the conversation, Bill, that you missed out on. It was a very complex intersection of design and runzas.
Yeah, we'll ask you, Bill, how many runza restaurants will be in this complex that you are building?
That's a fascinating question. We really have to do the market analysis to determine an appropriate person who runs a density. We haven't gotten there yet. But I will say that we really hope that we can have a rock and roll Runza at this location.
If not, if, been to one of those in a while.
Well, that's a shame.
You guess, play well.
I guess Ben, we have lunch plans now.
Yeah, there you go.
Ben's never been to a Runza.
I've been to Runza, but I never ordered the actual Runza because I love their burgers and their fries.
Well, so. I've had a Runza, and I will say that you've taken a safe strategy.
Wow, yeah.
I like this guy.
I grew up on Runza.
I'm liking the second part of the show.
I'm a Runza fan, so really? I think we've got a real riff. Mm.
Yeah, there's balkanization.
I don't think we can post this show. Yeah, it's just too much.
No, but don't get me wrong. I love Runza. I just have an issue with Runzas.
There you go.
What can you say?
All right, Bill, Doug.
You and I, we're going to go get some Runza.
Okay. Bill, Doug, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, guys.
We look forward to seeing this thing. And this is a great thing, you know, with AIG Nebraska. Thank you for having us down here to talk to you guys for our Vivo special. So we will be back in probably a week with the Reflex Blue Show episode 100, which was actually recorded like 2 months ago or something.
Yeah, we only were 99.
No, we already did 99. We have to throw this in as a special.
Oh, 99.5.
There's some we don't count when they're so good.
We've actually, we've had like 130 some shows, episode. But you know, and we have a
kind of obsessed with numbers. Our firm's 11.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.